You may have noticed the man that wrote that, William Cowper, was a man who struggled with deep depressions, knew God to meet him, God to be his sufficiency. And so we all sing that hymn as the Lord's people, of God being our grace and strength. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the hymns of the church and how we can sing them to ourselves, to each other, in your presence, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, how it strengthens our heart as we hear of how you've met other believers in time past and your grace has been sufficient for them. Thank you that we are not alone in our pilgrimage. Thank you that you are the one who continues to give us grace, continues to strengthen our hearts. And so we would pray today that as we come in your presence and opening up your word, that you, by your Spirit, would bless us and be our teacher. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Would you open the scriptures, please, to Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 is our text this morning. We have read our text earlier. We will not read it again at this time. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Following the death of his wife, Southern Baptist preacher Vance Havner published his diary of how he had seen God meet with him. It was his observation as he looked at his own life and the life of other believers that there are three categories, three times in our Christian life. There are the mountaintops when everything is going well and we really sense the presence of the Lord. Everything looks bright. But it's unrealistic to think that we live our Christian life that way every day, going from mountaintop to mountaintop. Most of our Christian life is not spent on mountaintops, but what he calls ordinary days, the usual tasks of caring for our families, and we're neither elated or depressed. But there are the times, too, in our life when we go through valleys, when we go through dark days, times of discouragement, and despair, doubt, confusion. And for some of us, those can string into days and weeks, months, maybe even years, the times of the valleys, the times of depression. The scriptures speak to us of depression, and they give us ways to respond. It was 12 years ago that I preached a series on depression, and I think it's time to repeat it. To come back again to the subject, as we look at our own hearts, we need to know how the scriptures deal with this subject. Many of us, or most of us, have wrestled with this in our lives. And so, Lord willing, we'd like to take today and the next two Lord's Days and look at the scriptures and what they speak of depression and how we as Christians are to respond to it. Let's begin this morning by asking, what is a definition of depression? We'll look at some statistics, but then come to the scriptures and ask for clues of how we can recognize depression and also what is the hope of depression. That's a big area to cover this morning. We'll try that this morning. There's lots to cover. In fact, as we come to a definition of depression, even that is a difficult one to try to narrow down. Dr. John White, who has written many Christian books, would not even write on the subject of depression because it was such a big subject. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was first a medical doctor before going into the ministry, did write a book on spiritual depression, which I recommend. His book was 21 chapters, trying to wrap around the subject. It's a large one, complex, and give it a biblical Christian perspective. Let's use, for our sake of definition, a heart sadness that persists. We're not talking about low blood sugar. We're not talking about just coming home after a hard day at work. But a sadness of the heart, it's complex, it's a debilitating mood, that the lows that take over and begin to pull us even lower, and we begin to see them overwhelm our soul with darkness and with despair, Very often the conscience kicks into overdrive. We even become more introspective, more overactive, and we no longer see the way out. A time of debilitating, a lowness of mind and heart and spirit and emotions. Perhaps this is what's referred to in 1 Peter 1 and verse 6, the heaviness of trials. It could perhaps even be including a mental anguish of the times of trials. Statistically, depression is a very common occurrence, especially if we would read the Psalms and see how often this aspect of the soul is referred to in the book of Psalms, the frequency with which they deal it. So certainly God's people have been aware of this in our lives for thousands of years, and the scriptures deal openly with it. Statistically, it's shown that almost everyone experiences depression at one time or another in our life to a greater or lesser degree. It can come to all ages. It can come to all walks of life. It can disrupt us once in a lifetime, or it can come periodically. It can come seasonally. Or it can be an area that a person will deal with, really addressing their whole life long. Our age has been referred to as the depression as being the most common psychiatric symptom. End of quote. One article in the Journal of American Medical Association suggested that there has been no more human suffering has resulted from depression. More human suffering has resulted from depression than from any other single disease affecting mankind. End of quote. Their reference to disease, not ours. Certainly, if we look at suicide as it's tied to depression, it becomes alarming. Suicide rates in adolescents have tripled since 1955. Suicide is now the second highest cause of death of adolescents in our country. Tied to depression, statistically, we're dealing in an age when depression has become a very dominant part of our society. In fact, some have referred to our society as no longer the age of anxiety, which they referred to following World War II, but now we are the age of melancholy because of the high statistics of depression. National Institute of Health says 20% of the United States population, which is 7 to 15 million, suffer serious depression symptoms, but of those, only 10% seek help. As we come to the subject of depression, and statistically, we need to remember that depression also affects believers. As we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we put our hope in Him for the forgiveness of sins. We're trusting in Him only for our access to our Holy Father. Still, that does not mean that a Christian will never see times of depression. You see in Psalm 42, here's the heart of a believer. Look at the pronouns, 42 verse 6, my Savior and my God. 42 and verse 9, my rock. God, I put my trust in you. You're my security. You're my place of safety. This is the heart of a believer. 42 and verse 8, he rescues me. My stronghold, chapter 43 and verse 2. There's a personal knowledge here. David is writing, we believe, a believer, and he's a time writing in his life of great, deep spiritual depression. We will see there have been many in the history of the church who have suffered from deep times of depression. Charles Spurgeon was one, and he wrote, I thought it might be consolatory to some of my brethren if I gave my thoughts on depression so that younger men might not fancy that some strange thing has happened to them when they become for a season possessed by melancholy, and that sadder men might know that one upon whom the sun has shone right joyously did not always walk in the light. Spurgeon suffered from deep times of depression. Statistically, most of us, perhaps all of us, or certainly we will know people who deal or go through times, deep valleys of times of depression. How do we recognize it? How do we begin to see that we're dealing with this spiritual condition of depression. Depression can be categorized into two areas, endogenous depression, certainly, which is internally generated, a medical condition. The nervous system becomes disorganized and cannot function normally. But most of the time, depression is reactive depression. It's our response to circumstances around us, and that's where our attention will be most often in this series. And how do we recognize this response to situations around us, those situations that are not medically caused? Here in Psalm 42 and 43, we see a soul that's just open and giving the clues, many of them, of depression. 42 and verse 3, we see the first of a continual crying and sadness. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? Tears have been his food. I'm emotionally so sad, I don't even have an appetite to eat anymore. Food's become almost repulsive to me. Chapter 42 and verse 4, you notice how joy is put in the context of the past tense. I used to do this. I used to have shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Depression often sees the joy is in the past. I will never be happy again. Despair, darkness. Perhaps the most vivid picture is the word that's used in verse 5, disquieted, or translated disturbed. Why are you so disturbed? Why are you so disquieted within me? It's found again in verse 11. It's found again in 43 and verse 5. It's the word that's describing the sea when it cannot rest. It's in commotion. It's been stirred up, and there is no rest. I'm unable to find quietness. It's also a word